sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Weeks from now, Easter will be here, and many times during the Easter process, many sermons are fashioned around the resurrection, and many sermons are taken from the Gospels. I love that wonderful story. I reckon it makes so much more sense whenever we were privileged to visit there one time and see it with your natural eyes, even though we don't all get that privilege, but to be able to do that sure made it helpful. It sure did in that day. But tonight I want to talk about the resurrection that's found in Corinthians. So it's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And it's only going to be a half a dozen or so scripture points, but we just a little bit more than that. I want to give you an account of the Apostle Paul looking at the resurrection. When you view the resurrection, it means more when you understand it. When you understand it. When you realize that without the resurrection power, we get to read it, but when you understand it, we would be lost on our road to hell if it wasn't for what Jesus did. We're not even have the right bloodline. We're in the wrong bloodline. We're outcast. We're the nobodies of this world, as is described as a bunch of dogs. And I'm thankful that they rejected him. And I'm thankful for that as many as will receive him. I'm thankful for that. But the Apostle Paul, as he references himself by saying that he was born out of due time, when he come into this world as a saved person, he would have been very easy for him to say, well, I had what I needed before he was a believer in Christ. See, that's what a lot of people believe, that all they got to do is get what they need and they'll be all right. But if you get religion and that's all you got, it's not enough. It's not enough. When the Apostle Paul got saved, it's a wonderful story. It's a blessing for him. And I like to read from it. But I don't tell you, mine's better. Why is that? It wasn't no bright light, brighter than the noonday sun. I didn't have scales on my eyes. But friend, I had a broken heart just like he did. And the way I got saved, just like a lot of other folks got saved, by asking Christ to come in my heart. And whenever you receive salvation, it don't matter how you get it, just as long as you get it. Friend, you can be standing up, sitting down, doing whatever. You can be on your deathbed in the hospital. And friend, you can have all those extenuating circumstances. But when you ask Christ to come in your heart, my friend, I'm thankful that you're a changed creature from that point on. When the thief on the cross died and the Lord told him, today you'll be with me in paradise, he was just as sure as there, just as sure as I'm going to be there when I leave this world. So we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul for just a couple of moments. And as the Apostle Paul stated, and I'd love to read it all, but I can't. I really can't. For I want to talk to you from verses 3 of the 15th chapter. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's enough right there, isn't it? Which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. May we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray you help us just for a little while, God. I pray you speak to hearts, touch those that are hurting and God are in need right now. Most of all, touch those around our world and that are our friends and our loved ones that's lost. Help them to realize they do need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If we ended it right there, we could go on. But I want to talk to you about some of the terminology, the words that he used. And I wanted you to get the background of him getting saved. Because I really believe that when you understand the resurrection power, and when you are a believer and know about the resurrection and know about this death, burial, and resurrection that we talk about, when you know it yourself, you're a changed individual just like this man was. Very educated, very knowledgeable. But friend, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about Jesus. He wasn't talking about what he had learned about the law. He's talking about Jesus. Now, the way he talks about it, it's what I want to talk to you tonight about. The way he references it. Now the Bible says, verse 5, that he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, which that makes sense. There's a lot of folks during that time frame could have said, you know, I saw the Lord after he was crucified. Now that was their message. They could have said, you know, Paul, guess what? I was one of those that saw him. I saw him just as sure as I'm standing here. Now we as believers, we trust by faith. We believe by faith. We take God's word by faith. We may get to see some things with our spiritual mind and see those spiritual things. And when we hear those spiritual words and it makes perfect sense to us, it makes perfect sense whenever I read what I'm fixing to read, that the Apostle Paul was blessed enough by God to be able to pin it down because he understood it. He understood it. Let's read it. 500 brethren, verse 6 is what I'm reading, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, now I want you to watch these words. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now we could go back to the Gospels, we can give you the account. And last of all, he was seen of me also. Now here's the part that I want us to slow down with it a minute. When he was seen, when everybody else talked it, when everybody else said, oh yeah, I saw him, oh yeah. And he gave an account because, listen, this is how God works. God makes sure there's a witness of the scriptures. God makes sure. He talks about whenever things happen, he'd say there was witness there or there was a couple of witness here. But whenever these events took place, the Apostle Paul is starting to give an account to everyone. He's starting to dictate it off. And whenever he starts to dictate it off, he waits till last to tell of himself. Many people would argue the fact, well, the Apostle Paul didn't see it. You know, you can argue all you want to. I ain't going to listen to it, okay? But I want you to hear when it made sense to him. When he grabbed that resurrection. You see, I like what Mary said, who's going to roll away the stone? I like it. You know why I like it? Because there wasn't going to be any kind of barrier to hold her back from what she was headed out to do. And when she got there, man, you can't describe how she felt on that day. Right? And what's this? When the Apostle Paul, when he says these words, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Now we know he's not talking about that resurrection morning, but he's talking about that time whenever he got born again. And whenever you get born again, ain't that the thing? Here, my proper grammar. Ain't that the thing that he loved the most? It's whenever you start talking about how you got in the family of God. But now, that's not enough. No. That's not enough. I'd like to say we can talk about being saved. But I want to talk a little bit more. And I'd love to be able to read them all, but let me just go on. Verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. Now, what do we preach? And so ye believe. What do we preach and what do we believe? Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now notice how he worded that. How say some of you? In other words, old country boy terminology, how come you say what you say? I don't believe a word what you say. And how can you say what you say? You see, when you, hey, Apostle Paul wasn't there at that resurrection. Neither was I. Hey, he didn't get to see it face to face, what going on. He didn't get to see that stone rolled away unless he went by and visited later on, okay? But he didn't get to see all of that. But that didn't mean he didn't believe it in his heart. And when somebody else would say, there is no resurrection, he'd put a stop to that right then and there, Johnny on the spot. Now, we believe, if you remember some scriptures that we've kind of rehearsed over in the last few weeks, we believe in the virgin-born birth of Jesus Christ. If somebody says otherwise, you kind of get that hair on my neck kind of standing up. I don't want to hear it. Ain't got no use for you or nobody else. Why? If you're going to try to defy the word of God, if you're going to defy what God said in his word, you're going to get my dander kind of picked up right here. Because there's no such thing. There's no other way that I would have redemption. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's through the resurrection power. And the only way he would be my antidote for sin is because he was virgin born birth. There is no other way. Now, let me go on. Let me go on, because here's what he said. If Christ be preached, he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? See, he answered it. But he didn't stop there. Look how he uses the word and if. He starts verses 12 with now if. Now in verses 14, and if, he adds to it. If Christ be not risen, then what we do is in vain. Then our preaching is vain. Not only that, mine and your life, we're wasting our time. Paul said, if you understand the resurrection power of God, and you understand that He rose from the dead. If you understand that, then you'll know that our preaching is not in vain. Not only that, but He uses the word, and your faith is also vain. You see, I believe every time I see a rainbow in the sky, it's a promise of God. Now, if God promised a rainbow in the sky, friend of mine, I've got news for you. I believe this right here too. You see? Because according to the scripture, if one little part is in error, the whole load's in error. If one thing is wrong, the whole book's wrong. So when all these critics want to come to pass and say, well, this Bible's not really correct, this Bible is correct. If anybody's wrong, it's you. Right? We're talking about Him understanding. We're talking about Him believing. We're talking about Him and His life and His preaching. And He's talking about His faith. How strong is your faith? Now, the Bible talks about the apostle that got out of the boat and walked upon water. As long as his eyes was focused on Jesus, no problem. When he began to doubt and began to look at all the surroundings, he began to sink. You know, I would have been a sinker to start with. But a friend of mine, when you got your eyes focused on the Lord, there's a whole lot more you think you can do, right? It's not really what we're doing. It's what God had done for us. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ made preaching good, made faith good. A little bit further. And let me get down to verses 16. For, now if you read all this other, for if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. Now I wanted to read that before I read the verse. What is he talking about? Verse 15, yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because I have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. In other words, if the dead hadn't come up, if He hadn't come up, we're fake. We're fake. There's TV preachers on television right now that people say, different ones say, they're fake. Now you can have one good preacher and you can have 10 others and they'll all have the bad name. But if anybody claims fake, the Apostle Paul could have said, you know what? He's not real. But when you believe in Him, you know He's real. You'll never get me to believe any otherwise. I've got to hurry. Because verses 16, for if the dead arise not, then is not Christ raised. And verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet, in old country boy terminology, you're still in your sins. You got them. You can't get rid of them. They're there with you. And you'll be held accountable. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And this is one I love, but it's not any part of it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Notice the terminology that changes. He started with if in verses 12, 14, 16, 17. But verses 20, it begins, but now. Watch how the words change. But now is Christ risen from the dead. You know, when you believe it yourself, you talk that way. There's not a doubt in my mind that He resurrected from the dead. That's just the way we talk. And we use the scriptures. And when we read the scriptures, it's different from reading what we might have heard on news. But when we read the scriptures and we apply the scriptures to our own life, not yours, our own life. Now, I really don't care what you believe. It really matters to me what I believe, right? So, watch this. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Now, we're getting into something that many folks don't quite understand. But friend, if you'll start reading your Bible, you'll figure out that God required first fruits. See? Now, when you start thinking about what God requires sin, perfection, sinless. And this first fruit thing that he's talking about, friend, when this is presented to God, this is like when me and you, and I'm just going to use tithing, okay? When folks give money to the church, when folks give money in that tithe, it ain't money they're giving. No, sir. No, sir. Them first fruits that you give is given unto God, and it's not given to the church. Oh, we give it to Pilgrim Baptist Church. That don't make a hill of beans. You better give it to God. You better give it to God. And when you give it to God, you better give it to God knowing it ain't yours. See, there's a big difference. Paul believed in the resurrection power, and he believed in his first fruits. Now notice the terminology, and I'll hurry as quick as I can. Verse 21, for, he didn't start out with if, he started out this verse, for since by man came death, Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now how do you come up with words like that? How in the world? It has to be God. You can't think the way that God thinks, and he gives it to us to give us an understanding that, friend, in that first Adam,
let me do it.
Verse 22, for as in Adam all die. In that first Adam, we're doomed. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And ain't that what he said in the Garden of Eden? Well, you may have messed up, but there's a better day of coming. You may have done wrong, but there's still redemptive power. You may not understand the resurrection. Now, can you imagine the Apostle Paul, as he was called Saul, studying the law, studying the scriptures as he was studying, and when he'd come across questions, and he'd have to go to the teachers, and he would say, well, tell me what this means right here. Now, and what they would do is they would say, well, I was taught it this way. You ever had God just, you open up the Bible and you have a question and you say, I just don't understand. And all of a sudden, bingo, God speak out of heaven almost and give you the answer to what. See, man don't have to do what man does. Man thinks he's pretty smart, but God's smarter. And when God starts revealing to you something like the resurrection, all of a sudden you see it too. When you got saved, you had questions before. You just knew you was under conviction. You just knew you needed God. You didn't know the process of what it took to be saved. You just asked God to save you. Now the process, hey, I got news for you. We can talk about 100 things here, but let me talk about the resurrection. If he didn't resurrect from the dead, there would be no saving. See how that works? Whenever I got saved, did I know about that resurrection? Did I even know what Easter meant? Sure, Easter egg hunts. It didn't matter. When God saved my soul, then I understood the resurrection power. Let me hurry, because it says this. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even in so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. I'm going to hush because I could go all night right here. I want you to hear me. It made a difference in Paul's life. when he understood the resurrection power. It'll make a difference in yours. Many churches tonight across this land are filled with folks that claim they've been saved, but don't really understand the resurrection power of Jesus. They've not gotten a book. They've not been preached to. They've not been taught in a Sunday school. They just want to claim it, name it, and claim it. I'm thankful that the Lord let me be able to see what God has done for me. And I will be a disappointment to the day I die, but Christ has never been a disappointment to me. I'll fail God daily till I die. Friend, he's never failed me. And when we get to heaven, we'll be able to thank him face to face for what he did, because the Apostle Paul saw it, and he wasn't one of them, as we would call it, the four Gospels. He didn't see it with a natural eye, but he saw it the same way me and you saw it, through that spiritual eye. I'm thankful to know the resurrection power. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. A couple weeks from now on Sunday, we'll get to talk about it again, but we'll talk about it from a different angle, whatever way God wants at that time. But whatever happens, we'll still repeat the same message. Without Jesus, we'd have no hope. Without him, there is no resurrection story. Friend of mine, everybody else is in the grave, and I'm glad he's the one that done busted out of it. Thankful for that. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. I don't know your heart, but I'm glad to know the Lord. I'm glad to know that whenever he saved my soul, he gave me something to rejoice about and not to be sour over. I'm glad I can say I'm saved and know I'm going to heaven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Man, if God calls me tonight, I'm going to be in a better place. I'll enjoy those privileges, but I get to enjoy it all because of what Jesus did for me. May we stand, sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you, you come to know him in the free pardon of sin.